Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Cross Point Church.
We're here at the Nashville campus. It's been 5 months since I preached a message here, and it's been 5 months too long. And as many of you know, on March 3rd, a tornado hit this building, and it did significant damage. It tore through the back wall. It ripped off the roof. It wiped out much of our equipment. And I'm standing in the kids space. Now it's down to the studs and it's gonna be a while before kids space and office space is back up. But they've been working hard to get the auditorium and the other side of the building in the condition that we'll be able to meet again. And so our hope is when we gather at the other locations next week that we'd be able to gather here too. There's one more kind of permit hoop that we've gotta jump through. So I'd ask that you be praying with us about that. Now, I remember when I first saw this damage on March 3rd, I mean, I was walking through this building with our executive pastor, Kevin Cook, and I looked up and I could see the night sky through a hole in the ceiling. And it's at that moment, I just wondered, like, what are we gonna do? And then I walked outside and as I stood in the parking lot, there were cranes that were taking down the Cross Point sign. And it was this surreal moment because it wasn't just a sign. It was a fixture, a monument. This is like an icon that you could just see off the interstate that represented our church and what God was doing here. And it was being lowered to the ground. And I wondered, like, God, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? God, what do you want to teach us? What do you want us to do? Now, I believe that one of the things that he's teaching us is that our identity as a church is not found in a building. It's not attached to a sign. It's not the number of services, the number of campuses, or the gatherings, or the ministries, but our identity is found in Christ. See, when we face a crisis, it has a way to remind us of who God is and who we are. And it drives us deeper into this idea, or into this thing, or into our identity. Now, we all want to know our identity. Like, we want to know who we are. I remember when I graduated college, I'd saved up and I was gonna backpack Europe. And I remember I was going through Europe. I ended up in Rome a couple weeks in, and I ended up at the Pantheon, not the Parthenon, that's different, but the Pantheon. It's this beautiful, like 2,000-year-old building in the heart of Rome. And when they built it, they built this massive dome with a giant circular hole at the top. And as I went in, I was looking up through that hole in the top. I looked down and there was a girl that was laying on the ground. She was laying on the marble floor, and it was kind of odd. And she's kind of laying there and she's looking up at the hole in the ceiling. And I asked her, I was like, are you okay? And she said, yes. And I said, what are you doing? and she said, I'm here to find myself. Now, I know there were all kind of like things I could have said, and then maybe I should have said, but at that time, all I had was okay. And I just kept walking. And it's been 20 years since that moment. And I've had countless conversations with people in the same search. Like people from 17 to 70 who are asking the question, how do I find myself? Like, how do I know who I am? And the good news is you don't have to fly to Rome to figure it out. Although flights there are cheap these days. But God wants, he wants you to know who you are. Because out of all the crises you can face in life, an identity crisis is the worst kind. A while back, there's an author named Paul David Tripp, and heard him speak, and he said that a plague is affecting the church in America. He says it's a sad disease, and it's left us weakened and broken and discouraged and afraid. And for many, as soon as you get infected, it robs you of spiritual vitality. It robs you of joy. It robs you of the rest that Jesus said you would have. It reduces you to timidity and doubt and dark addictions of all kind. And in some way, somehow, it gets us all. It's this communicable disease that's ravaging the church. And the problem most of us have is when we have it, we don't know we have it. So we live with this delusion that we're healthy and we're okay, when everything in our life points to the fact that we're sick. It's a terrible disease. It's one that needs to be eradicated. What is it? is identity amnesia. Identity amnesia, that's when we forget who we are. We forget who we are, and when we forget who we are, we start looking to other things and other people and to the world to tell us, and we think, I am my success, I am my job, I am my achievement, I am my relationships, I am my gifts, my talents, what other people think of me. I am my possessions, I am my money. And the reason I think that this past half of a year has rocked so many of us is because of identity amnesia. Like things and places, we fused our identity, they've been shaken. Families shaken, careers shaken, government, business, health, sports, entertainment, relationships shaken. Everything that can be shaken has been shaken. Y'all, as the teenagers say, we got shook. Or as my teenagers say. But as a pastor, I love gathering on the weekends. I love a full building. I love a building full of people who are finding Jesus, finding faith, finding hope, and finding life in Christ. And we will gather in our buildings next weekend with social distancing. But there are many who are not yet ready to walk through the doors. And I want you to know, if that's you, it's okay. Like, it's gonna be a while before buildings are full again. Maybe a long while, and that's okay. See, I'm not in a rush to pack out buildings, but here's what I'm saying. To the degree my identity is found in a crowd of people, I'm shook. And as parents, like Rhea and I, we love our kids. Like, we didn't know we could love so much. Like, when our 16-year-old pulls out of the driveway, it feels like our hearts are riding in that car. And the other night, we were sitting on the back porch, and oldest daughter, Raleigh, she said, Dad, you realize in 2 years, I won't be here. I'll be off at college. And I said, don't say that. You're grounded. Like, because I don't want to think about that. Listen, I can be in denial about that fact, but what I can't deny is that if my identity is found in having kids in our home, I'm shook. And Rhea and I, we've been married for 20 years. She's my best friend. I can't imagine, I can't imagine life without her. And I have a friend of mine, and his wife, she passed away at 37 years of age. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, Kevin, I want you to cherish Rhea because you're not promised tomorrow with her. And I've thought about that. I've thought about it a lot. I've thought, what does it mean to have an identity that runs deeper than even my closest relationships? Because life is so fragile. And none of us are promised tomorrow. So husband, parent, pastor, friend, leader, like those are all true of me. Those are roles and responsibilities and callings in my life. And the thing about those things is they can change like that. And in crisis, they often do. Like we can lose jobs and relationships and kids can leave the house and lose our health and experience failure, make mistakes. And we need an identity that will be secure no matter what storm comes our way. And when it comes to identity, we're either going to try to find it vertically or we'll try to find it horizontally. And if you define yourself horizontally, here's what happens. You'll end up capsizing your life because nothing in this world is powerful enough to define you. You need an identity that comes from heaven, an identity that cannot be shaken. You need for God to tell you who you are. That's why in Colossians chapter 3, I love this, the Apostle Paul, he comes alongside the young church at Colossae, he puts his arm around him. He says, let me tell you who you are. Let me remind you who you are. When you face a crisis, when you get identity amnesia, when you forget who you are, when you lose your way in life, let me remind you. So what I'd love for us to do is look at chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, when he says in that first verse, that phrase, that you've been raised with Christ, what's he talking about? That's a callback. Like he's calling back to chapter 2, verse 12. He's talking about baptism. He says, when you were baptized, that was a water picture of what was happening inside of you. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. And so what's crazy about baptism is that it's that moment where you give a picture or a metaphor or a representation of what's happened inside of you, that the old you is gone, that the new you is here. What I found in baptism is oftentimes just instinctively, intuitively, people when they're baptized, they'll cross their arms. Most of the time they cross their arms. Sometimes they'll hold their nose. Maybe you're one of those people. You held your nose. Sometimes they hold the tub, just holding on for dear life. Sometimes people are like Ricky Bobby. They're like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But most of the time, just kind of intuitively, people cross their arms. I love that picture. It's like a water grave. It's saying, I'm dying to my old life, to my old self, to my old ways. Here's my life, God. If you want it, you can have it. I'm giving it to you. And to receive a new identity, you have to leave your old one behind. When Rhea and I got married, she said, I do, and she received a ring, and then she took my last name. And when we're baptized, we're taking his name. We're letting everybody know we belong to him. We're identifying with the one who defines us. Did you get that? We're identifying with the one who defines us, and we receive a new identity. Now, baptism, it doesn't save you. Only God can do that. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not by works, or any of us could just like boast and say that it was on us, but it's on him. Baptism is a demonstration that you put your faith in Jesus. And in baptism, in that moment, it's a marker, it's a demarcation. It's a moment that you're declaring you belong to him. And when identity amnesia sets in, because it will for all of us, when it sets in that moment, we can go back to that moment. We say, no, I put my faith in Christ. I put my trust in him. And after baptism, it's about becoming outwardly who you already are inwardly. Let me say that again. After baptism, it's about, the Christian life is about becoming outwardly who you already are inwardly. It's about becoming on the outside what you already are on the inside. That's transformation. That's a transformation that God wants to bring about in your life. Now, religion is outside in, but Christianity, following Jesus, is inside out. And Christianity is the life of God entering into you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And over time, he's changing your heart. He's changing your desires, changing your wants, making you more like Christ from the inside out through your cooperation with him. And it's a process, just like the construction of a building is a process. Your life is a process, and it's God's construction project. And construction takes longer than you want it to take. It's not instantaneous. But God is at work in your life. But you have to get your identity vertically. You have to let God tell you who you are. That's why Paul says, if you remember in the scripture, Paul says, set your mind on things above, set your heart on things above, stay vertical. Make sure you let God tell you who you are. Don't be set on the things of this earth. Don't rummage through the dumpster of the world trying to look for your identity and your worth and your value. But I want you to think with your minds, and I want you to feel with your hearts, and I want you to work with your hands, but make sure your identity comes from heaven. Stay vertical. We live in a world that says, if you want to know who you are, just look within. And listen, without God, that's the only option. But that breaks down, because I can't tell myself who I am. Because if I'm honest, I have thoughts and feelings that contradict one another. And sometimes I'm wrong. I thought coronavirus was going to be over by March or April. I thought that Georgia was going to beat Alabama in the national championship. They did too. I thought the Falcons were going to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm wrong sometimes. I look back on when I was 15, and I'm so glad that there was no YouTube when I was 15, because I was wrong a lot. I was an idiot. Was anybody else an idiot at 15? Just go ahead and raise your hand. It'll make you feel better. I look back 23 years ago when I was 20, and I thought I was smart. When I was 23, I was in grad school. I thought I was very smart. Y'all, I was an idiot. And there's a good chance that when I'm 63, I'll look back on 43, and you know what I'll think? I was an idiot, right? I need an outside voice. I need someone who's not wrong. I need someone who is stable and secure and beautiful and brilliant and consistent and coherent and faithful and true to tell me who I am. And you need that too. Listen, it's impossible for a created thing to define itself. The Creator is the source. Knowing God is the source for all knowing yourself. And when we were over in Europe, I was at the Louvre. I don't even know if I said that right, but I was at this fancy museum in Paris, that was where we saw the Mona Lisa. And I stood there and I looked at the Mona Lisa. It was one thing to admire the Mona Lisa when I'm standing there. It would be another thing to stand with Da Vinci and listen to him. Is that who painted it? I think it was. But listen to Da Vinci, listen to him talk about it. Like, listen to him describe it. And scripture teaches that you are God's masterpiece. You're created in Christ. You're a work in progress. And you're his masterpiece. You're his handiwork. Listen to him. Tell him why he made you the way he made you and the purpose that he has for your life. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to your critics. We can't even let ourselves define us because we can't do that. The Creator does that. So go vertical. Set your mind and your hearts on things above. And Paul says, your life has been hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? It means your identity is secure. Have you ever been in the mall and gotten turned around and not known where you are in the mall, and you have to find one of those big maps that kind of said, and when you find those maps, you look for the place that says you are here. What Paul is saying, you are here. He's saying, this is your location. You are hidden with Christ and God. He's saying, there is this inseparable union between you and Jesus. There's never a moment when you're separated. You may feel far from God right now, but he's not far from you. He is with you. The relationship is not contingent on how close you feel. He hasn't hidden you as someone hides something that they're ashamed of. He hides you. He hides you as someone hides something that's most valuable. Your identity is hidden in him, and nothing can separate you from love of God. Not enemies, not critics, not haters, not trolls, not your ex, not an old boss, not that person who wronged you, the person who took advantage of you, the person who abused you. They can't rob you of your identity in Christ. Not even Satan himself can separate you from the love of God. You are one with him. And Paul says, let me tell you where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is seated because his work's done. It's finished. It's irreversible. It's irrevocable. His work is done. He's seated next to the Father. And your identity is secure in him. So whether you're standing or whether you're sitting or whether you're running, whether you're working, whether you're cleaning, whether you're checking things off your to-do list, your identity is secure. And I wonder how many of us, our identity is wrapped up in accomplishing and achieving and all the things that we can. We become slaves to our own success. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're called to be fruitful, but we're also called to be faithful. We're called to be faithful to rest every 7 days. And maybe the real reason that we can't Sabbath is because our identity is found in work instead of in Christ. Listen, God can get more done in 6 days than you can in seven. And some of us have found our identity in achievement, and we bring that over into faith, and that's called a religious spirit. And that'll wear you out too, working to try to earn God's approval. I want you to imagine if I went home and my son was cleaning the bathrooms, what would I do? I'll tell you what I do. I would prepare for Christ's return because I'm pretty sure that'd be a sign of last days. I'll tell you what I do. I would ask, I'd be like, what are you doing? And if he said, Dad, I just need to know that I'm in the family, that I'm wanted and valued and secure as having Queen as my last name. Dad, I just want to earn my last name. I say, buddy, you don't have to clean the house to be part of the family. I mean, it's a nice thing for you to do, and I'm sure your mama appreciates it, and it's helpful around here, but you didn't clean your way into our family, and you don't have to clean to stay in this family. You're part of the family. That's identity. You are with Christ in God. You're in the family, and it's impossible for him to forsake his own. I don't know what happened in your earthly family. I don't know who forsook you. I don't know who turned their back on you, but you need to know that it's impossible for God to forsake his own. When Christ, who is your life, verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is your life, when he appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I love that. He's saying, when you fast forward the tape, you're gonna be with him forever. When you play this thing out, you'll be with him forever. Your identity is eternal, and that means your destiny is in Christ. He's already locked up your destiny. And so he says, Christ is life to us. He's not an add-on, he's not an optional accessory. He's your life, he's everything. And you'll be with him forever. And Paul says, look up. He says, your identity comes from heaven. Who you are comes from Christ. And then he gets real practical. Let's look at verse 5. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways and the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That's strong language. And Paul says, put to death. Literally, he says, wage war. He says, take off the old things. He said, I want you to kill the sin in your life before it kills you. And Paul's not giving us this list and saying, if you follow this list, then God will love you. That's religion. He's saying God already loves you. He's giving you a new identity, and you can't lose that. And he's saying that that because of your new identity, you can take off these old things before they take you out. And then he says, put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. He's saying all of these things are idolatry. What's an idol? It's anything that we go to, anything horizontal that we go to get our worth and our value and our sense of security and our self from other than God. It can be a relationship, it can be a hookup, it can be porn, it can be shopping, it can be what you wear, it can be what you drive. Anything that we look to horizontally to tell us who we are. See, idolatry is when we worship a created thing rather than the Creator. And Paul says, take off the old, because that's not who you are anymore. Like, it doesn't fit you anymore. You've been changed. And the movement of Jesus is not us just trying harder. The movement of Jesus is us trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to help us live consistently with who we already are. And so if we battle identity amnesia, we have to remind ourselves daily of who we are. And God's word, when you read through God's word, it's just full of like these post-it note reminders, God telling us who we are, telling us who he is and telling us who we are. This week as I was reading, I this kind of short list of want to remind you who you are. Like if you're in Christ, you are a child of God. You're a friend of God. You've been justified and you've been redeemed. Your old life has been crucified in Christ. You are no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free from sin and death. You're an heir with Christ. You've been accepted by Christ. You're a saint. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. It means he dwells in you. You're a new creation. And you've received his righteousness. You're an heir to heaven. You've been chosen. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. And you've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. You are God's workmanship. And you're a member of his body. You were in darkness, but now you're in light. You're a citizen of heaven. And God will supply all your needs. You're complete in Christ. You're raised up with Christ. You are hidden with Christ. And Christ is your life. Let me ask you a question. How would you live if you really believed those things were true? And all of that happened in a moment, whether you believe it or not. All of those things happened in a moment when you first trusted him. Before you even lifted a finger, God did those things in you. And now he wants to empower you to live that out. Now, it might mean that you have to remove the decorations. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Charles Dutton, maybe you've heard of him. He's an actor and a Broadway star. He's a Yale graduate. But before all that, he served 7.5 years in prison for manslaughter. And when people asked him, like, how did you make that kind of transformation? Like, how did you have that kind of change in your life? You know what he said? He said, I wasn't like the other prisoners because I never decorated my cell. He said, I wasn't gonna get comfortable because that wasn't my home. That wasn't who I am. I wonder how many of us have gotten identity amnesia and we decorated our cell when that's not our home and that's not who we are. Jesus came so that we'd be free. So let me ask you, what does it look like for you today to take off the old, to take down the decorations that need to come down? Because when you trusted Christ, you received a new identity. And your new identity means that you're part of a family that favors no race, no nationality, class, culture, ethnicity, a movement that favors only Jesus. Look at what he says in verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Man, all these things were barriers that existed in the ancient Roman world. And Paul is saying in Christ and in the gospel is the power to break down the barriers that separate people in society. It breaks down the barriers that separate people in our society today. When categories take precedence over Christ, it's called idolatry. Your identity comes vertically. It comes from God, and that's your most significant identity. No matter the color of your skin, no matter the color of their skin, they're your brother. No matter the political party or economic level or education status, they're your sister. And when our identity comes vertically, then we can break down the barriers horizontally. That we, this is what Jesus dreams for us, that we would be a community with an identity that's greater than any categories that the world could throw at us. And when that happens, look at what happens. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I love this. Paul says, this is who you are. This is your sign. You are God's chosen people. You've received love from Him. You've received your identity from Him. So you don't have to live confused. Y'all, we live in a world that's confused, in a world that's in crisis. And we're the ones that God has called to find our identity vertically so we can go out horizontally and serve. Y'all, this is why for years, Serve the City has been something that we've done as a church. We've seen lives change. What we do is we take the hope of Jesus in the heart of Crosspoint outside of the walls, outside of our buildings. And on Saturday, September 19th, next Saturday, we're gonna do it again. We're gonna put on the red shirts, and we're gonna put on compassion, and put on kindness, and put on humility, and put on gentleness, and put on patience. And we're gonna take it to the streets. We're gonna take it to the streets of our cities, streets of our communities. We're gonna take it to the streets of our neighborhoods. Not so that we can feel better about ourselves because we serve, but because it's our sign. Not so that people would see us, not so that people would see our church, but so that people would see Jesus. And we want you to join us. And so I wanna encourage you to go to crosspoint.tv/local. You can go there and you can find out more. Now in closing, I wanna pray for you. I'd love to pray for two groups of people. First, those who have forgotten who they are. I mean, maybe you're in Christ, maybe you've been baptized, but maybe you've suffered loss, or maybe you've experienced success and you've lost your way. And your identity has become wrapped up in something horizontal, and it's wearing you out. And today is the day to repent, to come back home to God, to your true identity. And then the second group with those who have never known their identity in Christ. And today would be a day that you would come to Him and that you would receive a new identity from Him, that you would put your trust in Jesus and begin to walk with Him, begin to follow Him. And so I want to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are Father, and thank You that we're in Your family. If we put our trust in Christ. And I pray first for those who have just lost their way. God, I pray that today would be the day of their returning to You, that they would return to that true identity and those statements that we talked about, that they would receive them by faith. God, that they would turn from what the world has said. And I pray for those who have hearts that have been wounded by what other people have said of them, or what the accuser has told them, what their enemy has reminded them of. Lord, would they be reminded of the truth that comes only from You, and would they rest and receive that identity in You. So Lord, we repent as a church and as a people where we've sought identity horizontally, and we come back and we set our minds and our hearts on things above. So I pray for those today that You would give them a stability and a security that comes only from You. And then God, I pray for those who have never put their trust in You, who've never received a new identity. God, I pray that today would be the day. And if that's you, if you say, you know what, I want to be found in Christ. I want to be with Him. I want to be reconciled to God. I want to have peace. But it's impossible to have peace of mind without being at peace with God. And so if that's you today and you want to put your trust in Jesus for the very first time, then you can pray something like this. Father, thank You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for calling me to Yourself. Right now, I give my life to You. I trust in what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I trust in His resurrection. And today, I want to be made new. I want that new life that comes from You. I want to receive a new identity. Thank You for saving me. And today, if you made that your prayer, up there is come down here. You experienced the life of God in you. And we would love to know about it. We'd love for you to share that with us. And we would love to encourage you in your faith and in your faith journey. And so this is, as we continue in Colossians, excited for next week. There'll be many of us who gather back and many of us continue to watch online. Whichever you choose, it's okay. But for those of you who are going to be coming out, we look forward to seeing them. So see you next week.